The VPM Daily Newscast is sponsored by Kanawha Capital Management. Your financial life is unique, complex, and dynamic. Kanawha Capital Management's team of credentialed professionals has been helping its clients build wealth and confidence through personalized planning and informed investing since 1989. Learn more at cancap.com. That's K-A-N-C-A-P.com.
You're listening to the VPM Daily Newscast, the recap of today's top stories in Central Virginia.
From the VPM Newsroom in Richmond, I'm Dantea Price-Lisco. Unofficial results from Tuesday's presidential primaries are in. As of midnight, President Joe Biden has effectively swept the Democratic race with more than 88% of the vote. And with roughly 63% of Republican ballots, former President Donald Trump is poised to win in the Commonwealth against former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley's 35%. Four other Republicans on yesterday's ballot had already suspended their campaigns and endorsed Trump, but still garnered about 2% of votes in Virginia. Legislation requiring universities to release student transcripts in certain situations cleared the Virginia Senate unanimously on Monday. It now heads to Governor Glenn Youngkin's desk. The bill prohibits transcript withholding for student debts of under $500 or $1,000. It also prevents the practice when a student with a payment plan has made three consecutive payments. Here's the bill's sponsor, Delegate Betsy Carr of Richmond.
I hope it will become law and that people will realize that they can take advantage of it. They can get the transcripts, they can set up a plan for paying back, and then we move on so that we have more people graduating and being able to get their education and move on with their lives.
Transcript withholding as a debt collection tactic disproportionately impacts low-income students and students of color. Calls from prison payphones would need to be as inexpensive as possible if a bill from Delegate Sam Rasool is signed into law by the governor. Rasool initially hoped to make the calls free, but the Democrats' proposal was amended in committee, according to the Richmond Times-Dispatch. His bill also would expand the number of individuals that people who are incarcerated can call, from 15 to 20 people. Global Tellink handles the state's prison phones. Last year, it made more than $10 million for its services. Both chambers of the Virginia General Assembly have now passed a total ban on child marriage. The Senate voted 39-1 on Tuesday to remove an exemption that allows emancipated minors to marry. Bridget Combs spoke to VPM News last week about the bill. She was married at age 15 in Texas and lives in Hanover County now.
That is just such a vulnerable time. I just want to see young people have protection that I didn't have. I don't want this to happen to anyone else. I couldn't speak then. I'm going to speak now.
A difference between the House and Senate bills needs to be resolved before it can go to Governor Glenn Youngkin. 40 states currently still permit child marriages, according to the advocacy group Unchained at Last. Liberty University will pay a record-setting $14 million fine for underreporting information about crimes on campus, including sexual assault. The U.S. Department of Education announced Tuesday that the fine comes after a federal investigation into 7 years of reports handled by the private college's police department, which employs one officer. The Lynchburg School has more than 15,000 students enrolled. It is the largest fine levied under the Federal Clery Act. Richmond's chief administrative officer offered City Council an update on how meals tax issues are being handled during a Monday committee meeting. Lincoln Saunders reiterated that the city's finance department would freeze new penalties on accounts that are being reviewed. He also said the meals tax was being prioritized in the city's rollout of RVA Pay, its new digital payment system. Councilors Ellen Robertson and Reva Trammell expressed concerns over how the situation's unfolded. Here's Trammell.
When did all this start, and how come we don't have all the information? I don't think us council members have all the full information, how this happened, when, and why. I want to know, because to me, that is very disturbing.
Richmond is currently reviewing about 500 accounts to determine the accuracy of its billing practices. In 1977, an ecological disaster on the James River led to the creation of the Virginia Environmental Endowment, which gives grants to support environmental protection. Gerald McCarthy led the VEE for more than three decades. VPM News reporter Patrick Larson recently spoke with McCarthy about his new book, Blueprint for Glowing Green: How a Small Foundation Changed the Model for Environmental Conservation.
Jerry, what was the Keypone disaster, and how did it lead to the creation of the Virginia Environmental Endowment in the 1970s?
The Keypone disaster was a shock to the Virginia system. And Keypone was an insecticide. It was discovered being discharged into the James River, and that led to a federal trial. The judge threw the book at them, and on February 1st, 1977, the court accepted a voluntary contribution from Allied to put up $8 million to start a new private, nonprofit organization called Virginia Environmental Endowment. It's not a disaster story. Our story is not about, and my book is not about, the Keypone disaster. It's about what happened next. Almost all the groups you can think of today, like the Capital Region Land Conservancy, the Virginia Conservation Network, none of these groups existed. And it's one of our great legacies, I think, is that all these groups exist and are thriving and are holding both anyone who's thinking of discharging anything poisonous into the environment and the politicians who were sworn by Article 11 of the Constitution of Virginia that they swear to uphold and defend, holding them all accountable for doing their jobs and not messing up the environment.
You write about the proliferation of environmental studies and public opinion surveys that sort of came about at this time. How did that work make a difference in the public policy side?
Yes, we were getting all this nonsense from Washington. The 1994 elections that brought a guy named Newt Gingrich to power in Congress, and he started talking about a contract with America and how we've got to reclaim our industrial might because these environmental regulations were costly, burdensome, job-killing, and we're talking with each other, and as I say, our board members came from a wide variety of non-environmental industries. They said, you know, we don't hear this anywhere. Where is this coming from? So to make a long story short, we said, well, has anyone ever done a public opinion poll, a survey of what people in Virginia actually think about the environment? Is it important to them? So we decided to do one. We said, well, let's find out. And we did. And the results were phenomenal. And they showed overwhelming support for clean water, drinking water, water quality. And for politicians, it was a wake-up call to say, this is a really popular subject.
What advice would you give to somebody who is interested in making a positive impact on the environment?
You know, there's so many opportunities today. You know, if you have time, you can volunteer with any number of environmental organizations. They're engaged in doing the work that a lot of people don't have time for, but do appreciate, because people are what this is ultimately all about, why we're doing all of this work to try to protect the only planet we have. We were given an opportunity to take care of it, and, you know, we've done a middling job of that so far. We've done great work in 50 years, but we still have plenty of work left to do.
This has been the VPM Daily Newscast.
Some of these stories may have changed since the newscast was recorded. You can stay connected to what matters by heading to vpm.org/news or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at MyVPM.
VPM.
I'm Speech Thomas from the hip-hop crew Arrested Development. On the new VPM podcast, Track Change, I take you behind the walls of Richmond City Jail, where I help four men record an album and hear how they're trying to break free
from a cycle of addiction and incarceration.
Been so long since I've been free.
Subscribe to Track Change in your podcast app.